You are listening to future programming on the Mystical Awakenings Network. This show is for entertainment purposes only. The hosts of this show are not medical professionals, lawyers, or counselors. Following any advice from anyone on this show, including our guests, is at your own risk, and the host, guests, or Mystical Awakenings LLC will not be held responsible.
Hello, welcome to Sacred Journeys Radio with Barry Whitecrow and Lady Beth. A special night tonight. We have family here. So I'm sorry if you're looking for a reading. We will not be doing readings tonight. So I'm sorry if you were on hold and you were waiting. But we are going to be talking about pretty much anything and everything. We're going to be talking a little bit about honor flights, about our planned trip to Vietnam, about family dynamics, about what we've been doing since our family's been here. It is so cool. My uncle from up in the UP of Michigan and his beautiful daughter, John and Angie, are here with us.
Hello.
Uncle and niece. Say hello again.
Hello.
Okay. And my uncle Butch surprised his brother, my other uncle. And he's there, Uncle Paul. You might know him by, but I can't get over calling him Butch.
He's up from Ohio,
and he's from Ohio, and he drove up to be with us. So we've had fun. We've been watching YouTube, and we went out to breakfast, and we played a game of Relative Insanity. It's a fun game if you guys, you know, have family gatherings and things like that. But both of my uncles are really kind of on the same page as Barry and I, spiritually and, of course, politically. And we're just very much good friends besides uncles and nieces. So I'm excited that they're here, and it's fun to have like-minded people to share our time with. And, by the way, they're both Vietnam vets. And we honor them, of course, but they have a lot of wisdom for us, not just because of Vietnam, but because of life. So we can also call on them for sage advice and thoughts about anything that we encounter in life. And then I put on the promo that Angie's with us, and I said she's a hoot. So we know we're going to have fun tonight, so stay tuned. We're going to have some fun. We're probably going to talk about travels. Uncle John had an RV before us, and so he's kind of our go-to person to call about anything that we might be thinking about with our new RV. And by the way, last week I made an announcement that we're leaving in February. Of course, Barry and Beth, that has all changed now. In the middle of the night, it dawned on me that if we just waited till March, we could go down to Cincinnati, do our big event, and then go on to Florida, and we could have and go gym digging, and we could have longer on the road. So that's our plan now, and you're going to hear Sacred Journeys Radio. It will be coming from the road after that. We will talk about our gym digging and our spiritual experiences along the road. So, okay, with that, I want to bring everybody in that's sitting here around the table. And I think what we will do is start with the honor flight. They got back in October or November, you guys went?
October.
October to Washington, D.C., if you don't know what the honor flight is. But you want to tell us about what the honor flight is?
The honor flight is designed to send veterans of all wars. Mainly the World War II first, a Korean second, and Vietnam, and probably someday the guys that are fighting in Afghanistan and over in Iraq will probably end up going one of these days. Right now, the World War II and Korea and those veterans that are having medical problems have priority. But I would like for all of you, if you know anyone, get them to get the Honor Flight. You can reach them at honorflight.org or I'm going to, on the internet, or I'm going to give you a phone number that you can call, and you can find out where to apply for the, put your application in to get on the waiting list. And that is a 937-521-2400. And if you call that number, that's out of Dayton Springfield area where the Honor Flight actually started. If you call that number, they can get you a local location where you can fly out of. So if you've got a father, brother, sister, uncle, anybody that's been in the service and might enjoy going to Washington, D.C. For an honor flight, you go to all the memorials, and they have a lot of food that day, and they end up with a dinner that night, and you come back the next evening. You leave early in the morning on, say, Friday night, and you come back Saturday evening. So it's a short trip, but you're pretty busy, and you stay busy the whole day. And I would like to get everybody that's qualified to get signed up. And there's 130 hubs throughout the United States that fly out of. And they usually have each one, I'm not sure how many, but the one in Dayton has two in the spring and two in the fall. And it's absolutely free. Now, if you have a guardian that wants to go along, and be with that veteran, there's also a guardian application to be filled out. And they do charge the guardian to go because this private plane that takes everybody there costs quite a bit of money. It gets up into the $30,000, $40,000 range to send these veterans to Washington, D.C. But the whole experience is well worth it. And I would like anybody and everybody to sign up and get on that trip. Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you talked about the person that can go along with them. I think it's around $450 right now for them to go.
Yeah, right. It's right up around $450 or $500.
Okay. So just so you know, and so I'm going to turn to my Uncle John. Now, what was special about their honor flight was two brothers got to go, two people that served Vietnam, which seemed to me like, we'll talk about this in a minute, but it seemed like that would be hard on my grandma, having both of her sons in Vietnam. I can't imagine that was an easy thing for her. You guys were there at the same time, or no?
No, actually, John's 2 years younger than me, but he went over first.
Yeah.
And then when he came back about a year later, I went.
Yeah. And I can't imagine, as a mother, the worry that must have happened for
yeah,
when you both were there.
It was a big thing on her. She we could tell when we got back how much it had
taken its toll,
how much the pressure had exerted on her while we were in the service and going away to Vietnam.
Right. So, John, you went on the honor flight. Can you tell us a little bit about the experience?
I living in the UP near Escanaba, there is a honor flight that flies out of Escanaba. I had been encouraged to sign up for that one, but having lived in the Washington, D.C. area for a couple years, lived there and worked, I visited many of the memorials on my own, and I thought, well, I won't, I really won't sign up, allowing other veterans that have never made that trip or never been in that area to sign up for it and go. But my brother Butch contacted me and said there was a possibility that we could go together on the one out of Dayton, and so I didn't take me but a second to say, yeah, I'm in for that. And
And didn't both of your daughters go as well?
And both our daughters went. They were our guardians. And so it was a great trip, very emotional. And I think what touched me the most was the departure from Dayton, all the people that saw us leave and wished us a good trip. When we arrived at National Airport Reagan National Airport, when I lived in D.C., it was called National Airport. Mm-hmm. But when we arrived there was just hundreds of people that greeted us when we arrived there, and band playing and people giving us hugs and telling us welcome home, and that was emotional. And another thing that struck me I was honored to participate in was a high school in Alexandria, Virginia. And I had lived in Alexandria, Virginia at one time, but it was the high school that was featured in the movie Remember the Titan. And they have a culinary program there for the high school students, and they made a dinner for us. And
they were spectacular.
They were absolutely great.
Those kids, they really went out of their way to honor us. And,
they greeted us. They every minute you turned around, one was approaching. Can I get you anything? Can I help you?
Yeah.
I was so impressed by these young people. And then finally, when we arrived back at Dayton, the reception we received there was just overwhelming. It was something that we as Vietnam vets had never experienced.
Yeah, you guys didn't get the best greeting coming home, did you?
A lot of the folks that we're talking to are much too young to remember the Vietnam War, but when we came home, we were treated shabbily. The people they were against the war, and which they have a right to do. And
they don't have a right to be against our soldiers who put their life
but,
in.
They actually treated soldiers pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we came home and we just kept our mouths shut, came home, let our hair grow and tried to join back into the community. But this thing at the honor flight and all the people that turned out to honor us made up for that.
Oh, wow. That made up for it, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, I was so overwhelmed by the young people that was there and greeted us and yelled.
It was humbling.
Yeah, I feel your emotion. It makes me cry. So I'm so glad that you guys had that experience,
and
have realized their errors of their way of treating you guys. It wasn't you guys. You guys put your life on the line for all of us.
It was in the late 90s before I started receiving any thank yous for our service. And into the late 90s and early 2000 after 9/11. We started getting a lot of thank yous. People would come up, and they still do. And it's nice. It feels good.
Right. I don't know. Those days, I mean, I guess the protesters had their thoughts and everything, but they were totally wrong in my eyes. You know, you can be mad at your government. You can be mad at decisions, but you don't be mad at the people that went and put their life in harm's way.
Especially those who were drafted.
Yeah.
They didn't have a choice.
For those, even at those that
those
were
that
patriotic and wanted to join and things, it's still, they're fighting for our freedom, for our right to speak, for our right to protest. And then we treat them shabbily when they come home? That's just awful. Just awful.
But that doesn't happen very often today. I think people have changed a good bit.
Yeah, I hope you get a lot of thank yous when you're out and about. And the
soldiers that are coming home today, they get honored like they should. And I'm so glad to see that.
Right, right. So anyway, if you want to get to this honor flight, please go to that website, honorflight.org.
Right.
And you can probably get all the information for your area.
And I'm going to give that number one more time. That's 937-521-2400. And you can call that from 9 to 5.
Yeah, and another thing he's getting to do, do you want to go ahead and say something? Is that he, Uncle Butch, who's a post commander, has encouraged us to have Barry's uncle, who is a World War II vet. He's 97 years old, still drives 110 miles an hour, and I'm not kidding, to and nonstop to Florida and back. And he looks like he has agreed to go on that spring. We're hoping it's spring.
We're hoping.
Honor flight this year. Yeah. So, and he's from that era where he doesn't always accept things. And he was, when we mentioned that, he lit up the room, didn't
mm-hmm.
he? And
he sure
was like,
did.
I've been wanting to do that. So we're excited that Barry might be going along with him in the spring to do the honor flight. So
he'll get Barry to be his guardian.
Yeah. The one thing I want to iterate and emphasize is, if you have a relative, a member of the family that has served in World War II, is a World War II veteran, and even Korean veteran, realize that their life, there's not much left, much time left, and you have to get them into the program or onto the waiting list as soon as possible.
Right.
It's not something they have the time to wait on.
Right.
And so I would encourage you to.
I might also mention that even if they can't walk, they have wheelchairs and guardians to push those wheelchairs. And I think on our trip, what they have about 30 wheelchairs.
Oh, at least, and they lead the pack when they're the first ones on, the first ones off, and it's just very heartlifting to see them and how they're treated.
Yep.
Angie?
Okay, just a thought for Courtney and I were honored to be with our dads, but I always thought that even if you don't know anybody or you don't have any family that's active or veterans or anything, they can use guardians just for people that don't have family to go with them.
So they could go onto the website, sign up. And even though you don't know them, you're going to know them at the end of the trip.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you can do that.
Or
it doesn't have to be.
That's not your thing. Mm-hmm. Just go to the airport.
Yeah.
And wait there for them to come home.
And I think I saw a donate button on the website.
There might
so
be.
If you just want to donate, if you know you're inside and you can't get out and you want to do something, $5 helps. You know,
it costs a lot of money to do these trips. It's up around $40,000. And they can use all the help they can get. These guardian payments, that goes to pay for the airplane. And that airplane is used that day just for that trip. It flies us there, and it flies us back, and that's all it does.
So I remember, if I remember seeing the pictures, I remember you had a special person that came and greeted you in Washington, D.C., some big politician, perhaps?
He's a dirty old man.
Bob Dole.
And he had some kind of the cute socks on. I know
that.
He had some awesome socks.
puppy socks or something.
So Bob Dole greeted you guys, right?
He greeted us at the World War II memorial.
Nice.
He was sitting there outside a bit, and he would greet everyone to come to the World War II. And we got to meet him. That was quite an honor.
And he likes the ladies.
And he does like the ladies.
Oh, we know that from the Pepsi commercial or whatever it was. Greedo, what was it? I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah. Bob's quite a guy. He's there for all the honor flights, and he likes to greet the World War II guys and welcome them to the World War II memorial.
Yeah, you never know when you're in Washington, D.C. We've known it from our activism that you don't know who you might run into there. So, I mean, that's where they're at. That's where they live. And there's certain ones I don't care to run into, but
we're not going there.
We know. You've listened to us enough to understand who that is. Because sometimes Barry just can't hold himself back.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah. That's another thing nice about our family is this group right here, we agree on things, and it's kind of refreshing, if you know what I mean. And
yeah.
That's all we're going to say. But, yeah, I just, they've been reminiscing somewhat on with one another about Vietnam and their life as a child, and then I've been showing YouTubes, and we found some of their bases from Vietnam on YouTube, which is kind of awesome. And you did Johnny, you were in a promotional video, kind of. There was a little glimpse of you about your safe side. And last year you got an honor. You want to talk about that?
I've in 1966, I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii. And word came down that they were looking for volunteers for a special outfit unit they were putting together, going to train and send to Vietnam. And I guess being, maybe you'd say, young and dumb, I
just no. Leave it there.
I had this aspiration to be some kind of a special forces or whatever. So I raised my hand. I said, yes, I'll volunteer. So I joined an outfit, and it was initially called United States Air Force Security Strike Force. And what it was about is, At the time, in 65, especially in beginning of 66, the air bases in Vietnam were getting mortared and hit hard with attacks, and especially, like I said, mortars and rocket-propelled grenades and everything. And there was no outer perimeter protection. The Air Force had security police or air police, and they did on-base protection. They stood guard around some of the aircraft. And the Air Force, certain members of the Air Force, decided, well, maybe we could take on the responsibility of outer perimeter protection as a basis. And so, therefore, this unit was formed of all volunteers. Initially, there was probably 60-some Air Force members, men, that were sent to Army Ranger School. First time that any Air Force personnel had ever gone to Army Ranger School. And out of that initial 60-some, there was 19 that made it through the program.
Wow.
And they became our instructors, and we formed at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii, and we trained for 16 weeks in the mountains in Hawaii, and it was basically Army Ranger School or advanced combat training. And from there, then, including the instructors, we all formed together as one unit, and then we were flown to Vietnam, and stationed at a base camp outside of an air base, and we were the test unit to see if this would work. And we did day and night patrols, ambushes. We had light weapons. We had M16s. We had machine guns. We had 50 caliber machine guns. We had mortars, and we also had APCs. And we operated for approximately 7 months, and it was a success. We prevented a couple attacks, and therefore, when we got back, then the Air Force decided to go ahead and instruct additional units. And my unit became the instructors for the new units.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how that's what I was involved in and how it started.
So Wright-Patterson Air Force Base did an honoring last year. And what did they did some kind of bench?
Yeah. The 1041st, initially, our program, if you want to call it a program, but it was our operation, our mission to go over and do this test was called Operation Safeside. So from that, in later years, members that were in the units from Vietnam, around 1990, formed a Safeside Association, and we began having reunion. And shortly after, right around 1970, the whole program, the Air Force shut it down and disbanded the units. So we were basically just veterans from Vietnam that were having reunions. Well, around 1995, the Air Force decided to resurrect this program, the Safeside, and begin training troops again to protect bases around the world. And of course, from that, they began serving in Iraq, Afghanistan, and they were initially stationed at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, but eventually moved and established their headquarters at Moody Air Force Base in Georgia. And then we started to include them in our Safeside Association.
Mm-hmm.
And these young, I went to a couple reunions down there to see these young people in the midst of their training and what the equipment they were using and their esprit de corps, and I was completely blown away. And they were very receptive to us because we were the beginning. Had we not done what we did,
yeah,
and they recognized us for that, and they treated us like royalty when we go to the reunions there. But eventually, what happened is at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is the U.S. Air Force National Museum, and there is a area outside the main exhibit building, and it is originally established by the security police, United States Air Force Security Police Organization, and people are different units. They had benches, granite benches placed around, and there was one space left, and permission was asked, could we put a Safeside bench to recognize all of the units that participated in Safeside. And it was, finally went through all the red tape, and it was accepted by the Air Force. And so we had the bench I was on, at that time, I was on the board of directors with the Safe Side mm-hmm. Association. And we designed and had carved or a granite bench with all the emblems and all and recognizing all of the units that participated in SafeSide, not only the Vietnam, but the current units that are serving, that are currently active and serving out of Moody Air Force Base.
Right.
And so it was, what, July of 2018. Yeah. We were, the bench was put in place by the museum personnel and a local monument company out of Dayton, and they put the bench out there, but we decided to have a ceremony and what we called a bench unveiling. And so quite a few of us, the board of directors and many of the members of the Safe Side Association gathered there
To be honored.
To be honored and to unveil the bench. Mm-hmm. And so our bench is now part of the Air
the,
Force.
Didn't the Wright Pat commander dedicate that?
Yeah. The commander of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base was there. And ironically, we have a nephew that was a civilian worker at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and had worked with and for command personnel. He had a former Air Force Wright-Patterson Air Force Base commander. He worked with him and for him, and I was really excited to get him there, and because the commander that he had worked for was going to be there, and we had a couple of generals, we had several colonels and so forth that were there for the dedication. But what I also had asked my brother Paul to be there, Butch, and I wanted him to be with me in this honor. And little did I know, and my daughter came with me also.
I always get to go.
Well, that's fun.
It turned out a very large portion of my family showed up.
Thanks to your brother.
Yeah. Including Beth and Barry here, they were there.
Of course.
And they surprised me.
Kinda. I think it got leaked out.
I had an idea.
Yeah.
But I wasn't.
He
sure.
was not expecting the number of members of his family that showed up. From Uncle Butch all the way down to Josie.
My Josie.
I was just so honored and blessed to have this happen.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget.
Yeah. It was an awesome day.
It really was.
And then we went and had Vietnamese food, which was awesome.
That was great.
Okay, let's turn to Butch, Paul Griffith. He is the commander at Brookville, the post commander for VFW. And I just thought you might want to talk a little bit about your time serving.
Oh, my time in the Army? I was drafted. I went kicking and screaming. They had to come and get me. Well, they didn't come and get me, but I was drafted in 65 and went through basic training at Fort Knox and applied for OCS and went to OCS at Fort Sill. Graduated from there in 66 and went to a Pershing missile unit. And I spent a couple years in the Pershing program where I fired a missile out in Utah. And as soon as I got done with that, I came back to SIL, and my commander came over one day and told me I had new orders. And I figured he meant Vietnam. But he said, you're going to Korea. And then I laughed, and I said, no, sir, I'm not. I said, I'm going to volunteer for Vietnam. So I called the the career center in the Pentagon, had my orders changed, and was sent to Vietnam in early 68 to 69, and commanded an artillery battery there, and came home, and like I say, we came home quiet, didn't say much, and went about our business. I did spend a short tour down in Fort Benning for a little bit, and then I came home to go to work and join the rest of the civilians.
Can you talk about the missile?
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. It was the largest missile in the Army inventory, two-stage missile. I test fired one in Utah, but the missile itself was they were all over Germany, and the missile scared the heck out of the Russians. They didn't like it sitting there in Germany. So in somewhere in the 80s came along, and Reagan decided that he would trade the Pershing missile that I had fired. He would trade that off in the SALT talks. If the Russians would get rid of theirs, we got rid of ours. So we kind of went by the wayside and we had to get rid of them and deactivate the Pershing units there in Germany. But it scared them enough, and it really helped during the Cold War. And it was a good Cold War missile, and it did its job.
He's being really humble because he's been post commander how many years now?
13.
And it's not just that he's the post commander. I have seen him get all kinds of benefits for our servicemen who have come home. He has helped them get probably paid from funerals to pay for medical bills to everything that he can do to help. I've seen him self-sacrifice and pull every string he could possibly pull to get what veterans who are now home that might be struggling to get things they need.
Yeah, well, I've done all that. I wouldn't be doing what I do otherwise. That's the main reason I'm there, to help veterans and veterans' families. I had the distinction, one of my men that got killed in Vietnam helped bury his son. sorry, that kind of gets to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've talked to you guys before that I thank you, and I can't imagine. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I can't imagine what you've been through, and I can't imagine the emotion or the hurt or the sadness that you have experienced. I know you, on the other hand.
Well, there was a lot of good times.
That's what I was going to say. On the other hand, I've seen the brotherhood that you have with your other unit people.
I met a lot of beautiful people.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I love this. And I love that this is archived, by the way, listeners. If you have a veteran that needs to listen to this or that they need to start talking, because I'll tell you the truth, my uncles weren't always wanting to talk about their experiences. It didn't become till, can I say, your older years before you were ready to share. I hope we didn't push you. I didn't try to push you. And I feel honored that they're ready to share more, and I don't expect them to share everything. But I'm not going to tell you that I understand, because there's no way. I don't think you can understand that unless you've been there, done that, even been in your particular units. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Yeah.
I want to say something, point out something. If anyone's listening that is a Vietnam vet or actually a veteran of any of the recent wars, or but in particular Vietnam vets, that if you are suffering from PSD, Any of the illnesses attributed to Agent Orange, anything, any combat injury, any injury, service injury, connected injury, to contact a service officer, either with any of the like VFW, American Legion, Vietnam Veterans of America.
DAV's good too.
DAV, Disabled American Veterans. They have service officers that they, their job is to assist veterans applying for benefits from the VA for medical benefits. And you owe it to yourself. You deserve it.
If you're a veteran, go sign up at the VA, whether you need them or not. It helps the other veterans if you do. The more veterans we got that are signed up at the VA, the better off we are. And it helps everybody.
And I understand many of us had early experiences with the VA, and back in the 70s, 80s, even into the 90s, and it was just almost impossible to get help. It was a very poorly run organization, the hospitals, and there was the, you've heard of the waiting lists and the people dying while they're waiting to get in to receive help. Well, I have to tell you now that it's not the VA it used to be. Those people are waiting to help you, and they are so good to you. They go out of your way to help. And
I think one of the points you were trying to make was there's also emotional help there.
Absolutely.
We have a son, my stepson, who has PTSD, and we've seen the suffering. Please reach out.
I can't. Yeah. We've all, those that have been there, we all have suffered in some way from our experiences, whether it be Agent Orange or PTSD. And I know myself, I've lived with it for many, many years until I finally decided to seek help. Mm-hmm. And it has been a blessing. I'm sort of beginning to live a more normal life, I guess.
And if you can't even do it that way, let us know at Sacred Journeys Radio. We will get a hold of people that need to contact you, or we will help any way we can.
Yeah.
First try, if you feel, but if you feel like you can't, just reach out to...
Contact Beth or Barry, and I'll get you the help.
Yeah, right. And what's your post number?
3288.
3288, and that's in Brookville, Ohio.
Brookville, Ohio.
So if you're feeling like you connect with Butch and Johnny, I'm sure they're willing to talk to.
I'll be glad
to reach
help,
out to you any way they can help.
Any veteran out there, we'll help them.
So anyway, you know, it's a hard subject. It's a hard subject, but it's an important subject. You know, nothing that stays in the dark can be healed. We have to bring everything to the light. We have to bring it out to the light. Let the light heal it. And this is what this show is about tonight. This is what this show turned into tonight. So, with that, is there anything that we left unsaid about any of this?
Oh, I can't think of anything.
I have a comment.
Okay.
From personal experience.
Okay.
When I was in high school, Dad and I went to a movie together about the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't speak to me for a very long time after that movie.
Why is that?
Because it hit him so hard about the experience. He didn't know how to talk to me about it. And that's what I want to put out to family members is sometimes they just can't say what's happened or what they did or what they experienced.
Yeah.
So they need you to encourage them to go talk to somebody that can help them, because not necessarily their children.
I was worried about the YouTube videos. I was afraid that was going to bring stuff up.
What Angie's talking about, what my emotions were about then is, number one, I didn't know how to talk to her about it, didn't know how to explain it to her. But most of all, I was I did not want to appear weak in front of her.
And emotions and crying, I think, is one of the strongest things I've ever seen in men. So please don't hold back those tears. I think that's strength. I do not think it's a weakness. I think it takes much more strength to show that you're vulnerable and that you hurt than
but
it does
from,
to
the, you know, hardcore military guys that did it's.
And that was survival. They had to be like that. They absolutely had to be like that. But guess what? They don't have to anymore. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I even worried about the YouTube videos yesterday. Am I trying to push this too much? Should I turn it off? Should I let it run?
I think they were big enough to tell you if they've had enough.
Yeah, they're pretty forward. So, yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how, I think you guys know it, how much in awe I am of you and how much you're up on a pedestal. Sorry. Don't fall off of it, okay? But
I've fallen off some pedestals.
I don't think you'd fall off this one. So, and it breaks my heart to see that you were ever treated shabbily. But now, another healing we're planning, I hope it's a healing or just good old-fashioned fun, is that we are looking forward to going to visit Vietnam. As a family, we're planning on a trip for 2021, maybe early 2022. We haven't decided that yet. And we're only looking at the weather, believe me. We want nice weather while we're there. We're looking at either we want to go to north to south or south to north and visiting their places where they served as well. And we were looking at river trips recently. I mean, we're not sure how to go. Hey, if you have suggestions, go to our Sacred Journeys radio page and contact us there and let us know if you've been there, what you're thinking, you know, what connections you might have. So that's our new thing. Angie's not sure about flying that many hours over water. She's not sure about the alligators. I get it. I mean, new things are scary sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Even the food's a little scary. So, but I want to embrace it. I want to do it. I just think it would be a bonding family thing that we're going to do. And I want to be there for my uncles and get, I want to see through their eyes. I want to see through their eyes about Vietnam. And you guys know it, you know, Google it, whatever, YouTube it. Vietnam has changed.
It has.
Yeah.
Changed dramatically. I think the capitalism that exists within Vietnam has done wonders because those people are enjoying life a lot more now than they ever did under the they're still under communist rule, but it's not anything like they were at one time, and things have loosened up, and the country is open now to visitors, and they're making money off visitors.
They're becoming a tourist,
and that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Destination.
I see nothing wrong with it, and I'm really anxious to go back and visit some of the places that I spent over there.
Yeah. And your daughter's thinking about going as well.
Oh yeah.
She's on board.
Yeah, she wants to go along, and anybody else in our family. And maybe even some close friends.
Absolutely.
Can join with us. But it should be exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it.
The more people come, the bigger the boat is, and the less people we have to meet on the train.
There you go. There you go.
I guess what I want to talk about are my view on this is a lot of people would say, well, if you had such a horrible experience there, why do you want to go back? And Beth hit on it. It's a spiritual healing.
Healing.
When we were in Vietnam, we looked upon the Vietnamese people as, well, subhuman. They weren't, and we could not in the situation we were in, look at these people or accept these people into our lives because we may have to kill one of them. I can't put it any.
And they might have been trying to kill you as well.
And that was the thing. Everyone you looked at, every Vietnamese was a potential threat to you. And even the children, they said, watch the children. They'll drop grenades. They would participate in it also. So I've always had a guilt about my feelings and the manner of treatment we gave to these people. And
I don't know whether... at them with fresh eyes now?
Yeah, I don't know whether I can even get through this. I've never told anybody. And it's really nothing bad. It's something I experienced just before I left. And I'm glad I did. It was before I left. Or just when my tour was over. But I met a family. I just happened to be in a village and doing what we did when we had a little bit of time to ourselves, getting drunk and drinking beer and whatever, and I happened to meet a man and his kids, his boys. There was a couple boys, and they invited me to their home. Excuse me.
Take your time.
Communication was not easy. We did a lot of sign language and
sure.
Whatever we could to communicate. He took me to his home. His home, he was very proud of it. But it was in my eyes, it was there wasn't a shack. There wasn't much to it. It was mostly open. It had a roof and a floor, and that was basically it. And there was a little courtyard behind it. And he invited me out there with the boys, and we sat down, and the boys would come up and sit on my lap, and we talked, and he would ask me, did I have children? I said, no. I said, I have nieces and nephews, and I had some pictures of you guys. And I showed him some of that, and I just felt normal for a very brief time. And I connected with this family, and it was only for maybe an hour or so. I don't know. I don't remember. But my whole outlook changed at that moment. And I'm not sure if I had to go back out in the field again, whether I, how I could have handled it. I'm not sure. And we left to go home shortly after.
It's beautiful.
You know what I see about this?
It's a beautiful story.
It was Vietnam's way of telling you, we get it. Mm-hmm. Because, like you said, if it had happened any other time, you wouldn't have been able to do your job. But
no.
It sounds to me like this man wasn't blaming you for anything.
No, he was a beautiful man. He cared.
He saw a need in you.
A need in you to have some closure.
That was unusual.
And it was definitely spiritual.
That was so unusual.
So
they would have to see you almost as an enemy. So him to have such a beautiful heart,
but
to say this, I want to give this man.
I think that proves a lot, though. I know we've talked about it on here before and stuff. That you know, one of the reasons that younger people are chosen to do the fighting or whatever is that they see they're more likely to follow the orders or whatever and stuff and do it without thinking, basically, or so to speak, or whatever. But when it comes right down to it, it's these people setting up in their high offices or whatever that are you know, controlling the war or whatever, or making it actually happen, when the common man out there, or human,
or woman,
right, human, so is, you know, basically, you know, all they're thinking about is surviving or whatever and providing for their family. And that's where we have, you know, that spiritual connection all around the world.
Well,
if we could do away with them, you know, upper people trying to fight over an imaginary line drawn in the sand over capitalism or whatever the case may be. But, you know, if we could do away with those people or whatever.
When you get one to one.
Do away with that thought, might I say. Not those people because they're human also. But, you know, do away with that thought in mind or whatever. And just.
If you. No matter what nationality, what race, or what country they come from, what religion, if you can make a personal connection one of them.
Even what we have going on in this country, if I sat down with someone that I judged to be opposite of me, I'm going to find common ground with them, and my heart is going to melt more if they tell me their story. If I get to know that they struggled and they had cancer in their family and someone went to Vietnam, and that, I think that the coldness happens when we don't have that one-to-one contact. And in a way, it was a blessing you guys didn't have the one-to-one contact before, during the time you were, because how hard would that be? I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. But my imagination says that would be maybe even impossible. And maybe that's what it's about, us learning that we have to have the one-to-one contact for wars to stop. We were talking about road rage. If we had a moment with that person, let me tell you a story real quick. I probably maybe have to share this before. I know I probably shared it on Sacred Journeys. And I know I'm kind of shifting from Vietnam. You know, we're water protectors, and a lot of times we were face-to-face with National Guard. And this guy came. Where were we going that day?
Going to the paddle out.
We were going to an action to the paddle out, and this guy goes flying around us because Barry's going too slow. Flips us off. And we're like, okay. And so a couple miles up the road, he's broke down by the side of the road. And, of course, he's waving at us. And Barry's almost wanting to go by. I'm like, you pull over. So we pulled over. And his friend that was with him jumps in the car, and they had just ran out of gas. That's all it was. We're like, okay, we're going to be late, but we're going to go take you to get gas and blah, 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 blah. So we had a conversation with the guy on the way there. We're like, so what's his problem? You know, well, we were late and we were trying to get, and I said, and he's with the National Guard. I said, oh, yeah? I said, so next time he's face-to-face with us protesters, us activism, you remind him who stopped and helped him, who stopped and got his gas and took the time and did all that kind of stuff. And I said, and that's all I said. I didn't want to be mean. I didn't want to be, you know, that type of stuff. But, honey, let me tell you, listeners, you never know who's going to be the person that you're going to need help from. You never know who's going to be. So let's be more loving out there. You know, let's when someone cuts us off on traffic, let's think about maybe they just got news that their grandmother was in the hospital, or maybe their wife just left them, or who knows? We don't know their story.
Maybe they're just an asshole.
Yeah. And that is possible. That's possible. But why are they an asshole, okay?
Because they were born that way.
No. Have you seen them babies? They are not born that way. They are absolutely not born that way. But maybe hard knocks and maybe bad luck and all that shit got them to the point that they're just angry. So do we want to stop this stuff from all this stuff that we have to do to each other? Then let's look in each other's eyes.
That's why we need an island that nobody can come to.
That's my Angie. That's my Angie right there.
I just want to finish up, Beth, what I was getting to before I got into my story.
that my real purpose for returning is to connect with the people, to share, to be with them, and
it's
for,
eye to eye.
Yeah, eye to eye, and
heart to heart.
And it's for my healing.
Heart to heart.
And also, it's a beautiful country. It really is. There are beautiful areas that need to be seen and enjoyed and experienced.
Right. And I'm looking forward to spending time with my family, my brother and his daughter, my daughter, any of our family that joins with us, and maybe a couple friends, and a lot of healing.
Life's short, people. Embrace it. Get out there. Don't put it off. Like you were saying, don't put it off. There's no time to put it off. We got to embrace it.
If I eat the bug, will you eat the bug?
I will eat the bug with you, baby. I'll eat the other half of your bug. Okay. I'll even eat a guinea pig if you want.
I don't want to eat the guinea pig.
Okay.
I had pet guinea pig.
You're not going to make me eat the eel, right?
No, I need the eel.
Okay. So, I mean, that's where we are, and that's why we do this show. Healing. I'm really bad. I will admit that I need work, especially when it comes to the political.
Barry, does she need work?
When it comes to the political realm, I judge, and I've got to stop judging.
I'd like to know how that face-to-face, heart-to-heart would go. You were sitting across the table from a certain individual.
Now, honey, you've got to give me baby steps first. That,
yeah, every other person on the planet first.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd have to work up to that. I'd have to definitely work up to that. And we could go on. That subject is, he could get us in a lot more young men and young women getting hurt in harm's way problems. And we just pray and hope and send out energy that that's not going to happen, that we're protected, and that I just really, if I have fear, that's what it's about. It's about.
I hope this next year brings a lot of changes and somehow that it changes to bring a lot of our guys back home.
Mm-hmm.
Guys and gals, and I put the gals in there too. They're doing a hell of a job.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a lot of them, and the women in the service now, they're incredible. They do one hell of a job, and they're very equal to any man. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough about them. But
I have to jump in here with my experience going to Moody Air Force Base to see these young people that are training and are deploying to areas all over the world. And right now the primary area that they're being sent to is in Africa. But the women, I am just blown away by the women that are participating in this. I met and talked, they always set up displays for us of the equipment and tactics and so forth that they're using now. And they have their medics set up a display, and I, having been a paramedic in my life years ago, I always like to stop and see that. And there was a female soldier there, airman.
we never know what to say.
Yeah, but I started talking to her, and I was asking her about, was she being deployed? And the more I talked to her and I started looking at her uniform, she was not only medically trained, she was combat trained, and she had jump wings. She didn't deploy on foot into these where she's needed. For wounded, she would jump.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, you're okay.
Yeah.
You're in my eyes.
Yeah. Women are making a big difference in this world. We had the women's marches, and even at his at Standing Rock, the women were the ones that stood up and called everybody else in. And Barry, you might want to talk for a minute about LaDonna and healing energy being sent to her. She is the mother of Standing Rock. She's the one that called in. Go ahead. Are you going to talk?
Okay. Yes. LaDonna underwent surgery, was it yesterday, Dave? For a brain tumor. And so we are sending prayers out to her, but everything seems to be going really well from the information I've gotten so far from Marty Joe and LaDonna's son there and stuff is that she seems to be doing better, but we want to, of course, keep her in our thoughts and prayers. Things are looking really good, and she seems in high spirits and stuff. So if you would just, like we said, keep her in your thoughts and prayers. And, of course, anybody out there that needs it, we will send that healing energy out tonight and hope that everybody is able to pursue a life of happiness and good health. So anything else, Beth? I guess, I mean, that's about all I got to say about that, Ed.
Right, and, you know.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I just, you know, if you have something negative to say or do or think, maybe take a look at yourself.
That's what counselors are for.
Yeah.
Not humanity.
Yeah. So any other thoughts about Vietnam? Anything we want to talk about? Any thoughts? Okay. I'm so glad that we're going to have this and we'll have it forever archived. I mean, your great-grandchildren or great-nieces, great-nephews, everybody will be able to listen and learn a bit little more about things that are going on and life.
Learn.
Huh?
And hopefully learn from it.
And learn from it. And also, you know, these days today, don't we wish that our family, or who we came for would have had this so we could have heard their story. And
or at least they were better writers, something.
Yeah, it would have been so nice to hear.
A lot of hindsight. A lot of our relatives, our mothers, fathers that have passed over, we didn't get enough information from them. And I miss that. And
yeah.
I personally am trying to write down as much as I can so that I can leave something behind that talks about my life. But most of our preceding mothers and fathers didn't do that, and I understand that.
Right.
And,
right.
If you can... Write it down. What you did in life for the one that you're gonna leave behind.
Right, right.
I just want to say, Beth, one of the greatest gifts, other than your spirit that you've given me, is the interview you did with Mom, with your grandmother, mm-hmm. and Butch and I's mother. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and you know, I don't take credit for it. I do think spirit moves you to do things. And that definitely, I got moved to interview her to try to find out, to try to save those memories and those things that she did. Do I wish I would have done more? Oh, yeah. Do I wish I could make her biscuits and her...
We all wish we could cook like grandma.
You do a pretty good job on the greens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Every year almost every year, I go out and dig the greens. I have her knife to dig the greens up with, or one of her knives. I don't know if it's the original one. And we have the greens, and we think about her. Uh-huh. And, you know, back to that, we were talking about how hard it was for her while you guys were away. And,
for some that might not know, tell them what kind of greens.
Oh, they are dandelion greens, and you want to get them before they blossom. After they blossom, they're very bitter. You have to get them before they blossom, just when they're in the green, even really before they bud. You don't want the, I mean, the buds are okay, but you really want to try to get them before the buds.
Peel the outer and leaves away and take the inner.
Right.
And of course, the home, you know, or wild ones are the absolute best. But I will tell our listeners out there, if you want to try them, Meijer's a lot of times carries them in their produce section.
Which is amazing.
Dandelion greens, and we've had them, and they're quite good.
They're not as good as
going out and picking them yourself, but they are very, very, very good.
But
so,
for those of us that don't want to go out and pick them for ourselves.
So,
well, you have to come visit Beth during the spring.
That's why we go to Meijer's. That's why Meijer's was invented for lazy people.
And they are not low fat. They are not low fat. It is eggs and potatoes and
bacon.
I always forget. You know, as many times as I made them, I can't remember if she put green onions in them.
No.
So I don't think there's any onions in them, right?
No bacon.
You wilt them just like you do lettuce, wilted lettuce. You wilt them and eggs in those, and they are delicious. They're delicious cold. I don't care.
Absolutely.
They are delicious. And it also is that memory. But I wanted to dedicate this show, by the way, to Grandma Goldie. She would be over the friggin' moon that you guys are sharing and together and all those things. So this show is dedicated to our Grandma Goldie Griffith, who was the most amazing woman and strongest woman I've ever read about, ever experienced being in the presence of. Our doggies are having to get their say in here. So, with that, unless you guys are wanting to go on, it feels complete to me because I think Spirit led us into having the conversation we had.
This has been amazing.
Yeah. But if there's anything left that you want to say, let's get it said.
That's all I want to say. For me, this has been a healing in itself.
This is amazing.
It's been healing for us, too. We have wanted to ask questions, but didn't.
Thanks.
Out of respect for you.
I want to thank Beth and Barry for having us over for the couple days here. And I've enjoyed every minute of it.
We have to.
Yeah, thank you. Both of you. I can't express to you in words how much I enjoy being in your company. And
we love being in yours.
We do. You guys teach us so much. You do.
We do.
And we
call on you when I'm like, I don't know what to do about this situation.
We love all three of you so much. So, we're so happy to
I'm on vacation. I'm doing great.
and I have to jump in there and say and say thank you to my beautiful daughter.
She's a great support system.
Yeah. She's with me a lot these days to make trips and just be together and enjoy each other.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm supposed to do.
But you have a great relationship with your daughter.
Yeah, my daughter back home, she does the same thing. She watches out for her dad.
You just got to convince her to stop working so much so she can come hang out with us, too.
Yeah. She keeps real busy, though.
She's a special girl, too. She has a big heart.
She helps a lot of people, a lot of women, a lot of women that need help. And I'm real proud of her.
Yeah. And remember that, too. You are worthy, and you do not need to accept anything other than the highest and best for yourself. Don't let people hurt or abuse you. And reach out, women, too. And you can reach out to all kinds of organizations out there. Again, Sacred Journeys Radio would help you if you just want to put a message in, and I can connect you to Courtney.
Yeah.
So, and she would give us all kinds of great resources.
Yep.
So, yeah. And before we go, I think your daughter, Miss Angie, can you make an announcement or no? That you're going to be a business owner?
Oh, please. Possibly. My husband and I are buying the cab company that we work for.
Isn't that exciting?
Yay! Now I have to be a responsible adult even more, but
yeah.
It'll be great, and it'll keep a very necessary service in
business.
In business,
yeah,
especially where we live.
I want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
And congratulations to Courtney and all her things she's been receiving.
Yeah,
she's
a director.
Attagirls. Yeah. And I just want to say how much I love you guys.
We love
you. Know that?
We love you too.
And thank you for letting me be me, by
yeah.
the way. Because
I wouldn't have you any other way.
You guys have always supported me in my
if you lived
strangeness.
With her, you would,
yeah. And my out-of-box thinking, and I've never felt judged by you. I've never felt rejected by you. I've never felt any of those things, and that has meant so much to me. People might call me eccentric, the eccentric person that I am. So
it's called unconditional love.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So,
and we're back to the tears.
So, I know. So, Barry, what do you got to say?
I'm just going to say that everybody out there, you know, this has always been, I post this quite often on there, that on my Facebook page, one of my more serious posts is that, you know, when somebody passes away, they always take something with them that we should have asked about or you know, they take knowledge with them, and it's a loss. So, you know, get out there and ask those questions. Make them comfortable to talk to you or whatever. But because there's so much knowledge out there that everybody, every single person has, and they're going to take something with them to their grave that, you know, even their closest, their spouse or whoever, siblings, whatever, never knew about. There's always something there that's hidden that, you know, and it's a shame that it's lost. You know, so many things get lost that we just don't take the time to sit down and communicate about or whatever. And, you know, so put those phones down, quit texting and stuff, and talk to the person next to you, you know, that relative or friend or whatever the case may be, even your children or your parents or whatever the case may be. But you know, listen and, you know, ask those deep questions and see what comes about, because it's a shame to see that those little things get lost that we never, you
know.
And
if they're not ready to
talk,
be patient.
Yeah, be patient or whatever. But, I mean, again, too, you know, that there's always some things you can talk about or whatever. So
I do want to say thank you to Cold Bar Blue, who was on the chat. And I know that Alpha Lane has left us, but, God. Sending love to you, and I'm sorry you're so angry or hurt or whatever it is you are. And but we love you. We're just going to send love to you. And with that, we'll say.
We done?
Are we done?
We're done.
We're done.
Okay.
Been a
hoot, nanny.
May all your travels be safe
and
all
your
journeys be sacred.
Thank you.
Good night.
Next week.
Love you guys.
Bye bye.
Night night.
Say good night.
Good night.